Here I am in the studio with members of Pittsburgh Shakespeare in the Parks. I have Charles David Stoney Richards and also Matt Calvetti and our fabulous director, Jennifer Tober, who is the artistic director of Shakespeare in the Parks. Jennifer, how long have you been involved with this company since the beginning? But how do I dare say that it is 20 years?
It's 20 years. Can you believe it?
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
I loved Cleopatra and Antony last summer.
Thanks.
It was just amazing. As a matter of fact, I loved it so much I came twice.
Did you?
Oh my gosh. Yes, it was great.
And, yeah, they did a great job.
It was just great. And Shakespeare is your be-all and end-all. And with me in the studio this afternoon, Stoney Richards and Matt and Jennifer. So we're going to talk a little bit about a piece called Shakespeare. This Could Be True. It's a new play by Charles David Stoney. Stoney Richards. And Stoney, I'm going to just call you Stoney because I've been at rehearsal with you now, so I know.
You may.
So how did you come up with this idea?
Well, it was, we wanted to do something to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Pittsburgh Shakespeare in the Parks with this fundraiser that we're doing the week of Will. And so I started working probably a little before Christmas time. And I thought, what's the angle with this? And I've always been fascinated with Shakespeare in that he's a great writer, obviously, but I always thought he's also a great rewriter in finding some of these historical scripts that were famous to him and his audience at the time and kind of putting some things in the script like, well, what if we did this? The old, you know, what if this happened? And so I thought this might be an interesting way to look at Shakespeare and tell this story, which is really about a fellow who is not well. He suffers from something called misidentification syndrome, which is a nice highfalutin way to say he doesn't know who he is. He thinks he's a member of Shakespeare's company from 500 years ago, John Sinclair, and so he really believes that he is in Shakespeare's time. He is in a place where he's being cared for by some medical professionals. And the other part of his problem is that he has auditory hallucinations. So when his caregivers speak to him, he hears them saying something completely different than what the audience is hearing. And so it's really hard, but it also that's the gist of the story. But it also gives a thumbs up to caregivers who have to deal with people who suffer from that same kind of syndrome, and that's terrible. And I think we've all met people where we've said one thing to them, and they're talking about something else, and you just go, okay. Yeah,
right.
So I came up with it, and I started writing it, and of course, Jen is just always so supportive in stuff like this, you know, and I never get the feeling like, really, you're going to do this? And she read it. We had a reading of it and really liked the way it came out. Matt, of course, adds music to it, which really kind of sets the scene for a lot of the scenes in the play. And it's going to be a staged reading. So we will have scripts in hand. We know the story, and the cast is great. The woman in the show, her name is Anna Singer.
You're kidding.
Who is? I know this woman. I know this voice. And you are terrific.
Oh, you're very kind. It is so much fun to be back on the stage with a bunch of crazy actors. I can't.
Well, you've picked the right vibe.
We've only had one rehearsal, so you.
My husband said, "So how was it?" I said, "Oh my God, it's like going back in my youth, and it's just great."
It's a blast.
It's a blast. We had our first rehearsal the other night, and Matt, you were there, and you're part of playing music throughout, sort of. Underscoring everything. Tell me a little bit about how you come about with what you're going to play, and there are some cues in the script and stuff. So
yeah, usually I think with really any other productions too, what the script itself notates of what it's called for, and then I talk to Stoney and Jen kind of outside of that to see any other ideas that they have or sound they're looking for. With this, I was saying, too, that this one, not necessarily intentionally, but Jen is going to be playing bass on this as well.
Woo.
So we have guitar and bass, which sort of also kind of not intentionally, but ties into the duality of John Sinclair Stoney's character of having, you know, the split personality kind of, so having that sound. And music wise, we didn't want to go like necessarily like straight Elizabethan sounding. Obviously don't have a lute or anything, but just having music that is kind of that sound. And a lot of it is probably kind of more minor key sounding, just for, because his main character is obviously going through this kind of crisis of not anybody to listen to him, and dealing with Shakespeare when he finds out that he has passed away. So the music isn't necessarily, you know, bright in many instances. So just kind of coming up with it that way, and then and like I said, other times just sort of underscoring into the dialogue, but making sure that the dialogue is still the prominent feature.
Well, so many plays from that period always had incidental music. I mean, I'm playing incidental music by composers all the time who wrote for Peer Gynt or for Shakespeare, The Tempest or something. So it's kind of like that, but you get to step out of the chair, put down the guitar, and appear as a juggler and Hamlet's ghost.
Yeah, it's...
he does it all.
I feel like over the year, especially with Shakespeare in the Parks, probably prefer the back seat and just doing the music, but having also been a theater major, it's nice to get back and actually being on stage again. So, I think just having the ability to do both is also a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Two interests, so.
Yeah, we are having a lot of fun. Jen, you're directing, but you are playing the bass. So tell me a little bit about where that secret fascination and talent came from.
Well, I've always wanted to play. I always wanted to play the bass, and I played piano and guitar a little, and I finally started taking bass lessons last year. And it was something I'd been wanting to do for a long time. And I had a bass amp sitting in my basement for many years. And I finally just said, I'm doing it. And so, and so Matt and I are collaborating, which mostly means that Matt is composing everything because he's a genius and then tells me what to play. So luckily, Matt was talking about just wanting to be in the background. I want to be behind Matt in the background playing bass. But I do love it, and I'm excited to make my bass debut. So I'm very happy that Matt's so patient with me. But it is challenging to be directing and then think, oh wait, I should be playing here. But we'll have it all work. Yeah. And I like the fact that it's a staged reading, and even though scripts in hands, I think that, you know, the actors, you guys are so adept at telling the story physically and with your voices, even with the scripts in hands, that it's going to be really dynamic. And so there's something really fascinating to me about a staged reading.
It's very interesting to be doing this. And what's very fascinating is the fact that we have Stoney, we have Harper York, who is the narrator and also reading the stage directions, which is a very interesting turn on that. So each of us play different characters. I, of course, am sort of Nurse Ratchet. And Aaron Crutchfield plays the doctor, sort of this easy, loosey-goosey, peace-love kind of doctor.
Ultimate Frisbee winner doctor.
Yeah.
That everybody loves.
So
yep.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we also get to play other Hemmings and Condell, and also the gentleman that Hemmings and Condell eventually become his gentleman and take the folios and eventually say that we have taken the words of Shakespeare and put them down and kept them for all time. So it's a really very interesting journey. So we have four actors, two musicians, one director, and it all comes together to be Shakespeare. This could be true. So Stoney, you're John Sinclair, but you also take on Shakespeare.
Yeah, I mean, this is a show that I think the audience really has to pay a lot of attention
to.
Because
yes.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
Some of it isn't clear. And when you two, you and Aaron, are talking to me as doctors, I'm hearing you as Condell and Hemmings, and I'm going, you've got to publish these plays. And so it is very confusing, but this, it's written that way because this is what's going on in the guy's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's quite happy about this. He seems like, well, this is just the perfect thing, and I just want you to publish these plays. Just do this. Why can't you do this?
Yeah, he is desperate to make sure Shakespeare's plays do not get lost, right, and are published and are kept safe for posterity.
So with this cast of people, it really works. And I know the audience here at WQED perhaps has never heard you in a Cockney accent that you played with.
They actually have. Sweeney Todd.
Of course.
That's where I borrowed some of that from to put into this a little bit. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sweeney Todd. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of Sweeney Todd. And Mrs. Lovett.
It was like, that's cool, because we were kind of playing around with voices.
It's fun, yeah.
And I was doing Shakespeare. Of course, this is a rehearsal. It was our first rehearsal. And Jen wisely said, you know, when you're speaking as Shakespeare, he's got to have a different voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were playing around, and the voice that came up with it sounded like, you know, Blackbeard the Pirate.
Yeah.
And so Jennifer just slapped me and said, straighten up. And then, you know, we went back to it. And
I believe I said, let's make sure it's clear.
Jen has a great way. I worked with this woman for so many plays, and she has a great way of not making any actors uncomfortable or feel like, oh. And it's always with a smile like, you know, try it this way. Which means
do it this way.
But it's free because it's a rehearsal. You don't feel like, oh, if I say that wrong or if we hit the wrong note. Jen just says, yeah, you know, here, how about we do this? And that's what rehearsals are for.
Yeah,
that's
we have to make mistakes, right? We have to feel free to be able to explore.
So, but it is also a reading, too. So there may be some unusual things that happen during the reading while there is an audience. And I hope that you'll be a member of the audience. You can go to PittsburghShakespeare.com or PittsburghShakespeare.org. Because I'm looking at .com here that has it, and then .org is on either one. And you can get your tickets. It's $35, $15 for students. The doors open at 6:30, and there is a post-show talkback and reception with all the actors, musicians, and guest speakers. You'll think that there are about 50 of us, but they're really not. There are four actors, two musicians, one director, and you spin it all together. Jen, you have an amazing stage space. Tell us a little bit about where we're going to be performing.
We're so lucky to be able to be performing at the Union Trust Theater downtown in the Union Trust building. And I guess, you know, the theater was built because the robber barons at the time didn't want to go outside of the building. They wanted to be safe in the building. And so there are many things that you can live in that building, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it was Frick who wanted to have the theater built in there so he didn't have to go out because he didn't want to risk, you know, getting any assassination attempts again. So the theater is gorgeous, and I think it was recently restored
within the last 10 or 12 years. Yeah.
It's amazingly gorgeous.
The building is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. It's on the 10th floor, and I actually teach yoga on the 9th floor for the tenants, which is how I came to kind of learn about that theater. And beautiful theater, nice balcony. It just it makes you feel like you're being transported back in time to the Gilded Age or something.
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And then there'll be a reception afterwards, a little bit of cookies and something to imbibe of some sort.
There will be imbibing of wine and cheese and baked goods in the adjacent suite, which is a skylight. It's kind of a beautiful skylight terrace.
And
there'll be a talk back, and there'll be a chance to talk to the actors and the musicians and me, the director, and just mingle with everybody. And it's very audience interactive. So when you come, you'll see you will be tended to by the attendants.
Absolutely.
So, super fun.
The run is April 23rd through the 26th. Stoney, why don't you do a little bit of a reading? And Matt, why don't you just sort of underscore there? And let's hear some of your words, which are borrowed a bit by Shakespeare.
Yes, and The interesting thing about this is, as you said, as it being a reading, so we're holding scripts in our hands. For the audience, I think it's kind of cool for you to see actors turning their pages and, you know, looking down and looking up and still telling mm-hmm. the story. And that's, you know, if you're a Shakespeare fan, if you were a theater lover, it's kind of a bare naked situation where you go, oh, this is how they put everything together.
Right.
Bare naked Shakespeare.
Yeah. That's the next season. But and the night also, Harper York is the voice of authority, even in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she speaks these things about the stage directions, it really is almost like a tour guide of the show.
Right.
You know, I never
right.
thought that she would be doing that. And it's like, oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So they give him some roses to try to calm him down because he's not having a very good day. And he realizes, he looks at the roses and he immediately thinks of Shakespeare and he launches into one of his sonnets. And he's accompanied by the music. He hears a bell ringing and he realizes the funeral is passing by, or thinks it is, and realizes that Shakespeare really is dead. And he looks at these roses and he thinks to himself, he's gone, you know, and the rose, you know. And so he begins to recite, and the music accompanies him. And he says, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed. And every fair from fair declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. And he puts the roses down on the desk, almost like you're burying someone. You're putting something in the ground. And that's one of the things he does with the guitar.
Wow.
And Matt, is that fabulous?
Matt, that's wonderful. You heard Matt Calvetti playing the guitar there, and Stoney Richards reading his lines a la Shakespeare through the wonderful Shakespeare, This Could Be True, the adventures or misadventures of a patient who is suffering from misidentification syndrome and auditory hallucinations. And Charles David Stoney Richards, Harper York, myself, Aaron Crutchfield, all a part of the wonderful cast. And then, of course, directed by Jen Tober. And she'll be playing bass, making her debut. Matt Calvetti in charge of the live music. Guys, I'm so excited about this. I can't thank you enough for letting me be a part of it.
Thank you, dear. Can we hear you say something in Cockney, Anna? Maybe about the don't miss your dinner? Your character says
that. Oh, John, don't miss your dinner, dear. Ow.
There we are.
I just want to listen one time when you're introducing. Yeah. You know, here's Mozart.
Oh, we have a bit of Mozart now, you know.
Cheerio. I'm sure we're driving Harper crazy because Harper really
is really British. And I'm just like, oh, this is just so bad.
I always say, I'm sorry, Harper. I'm going to do a bad dialect now.
A really bad dialect. Just to remind,
I was just going to say, the one thing is when you, on the air, when you play Four Seasons, you never mention Frankie Valli. And I don't understand being such an aficionado of concerto music.
I thought you were going to ask me why I don't play the poetry that goes with the Four Seasons. But Frankie Valli not appearing today at WQED. So
maybe next week for Voice of the Arts.
Yes, okay. Shakespeare, This Could Be True. You can get and enjoy these fabulous tickets at pittsburghshakespeare.org or .com. And this is a wonderful fundraiser. I hope to see you there April 23rd through the 26th at the historic Union Trust Building. It's on the 10th floor. There are many restaurants actually right in the building, which is fun to do. And then you can have some wonderful munchies after the show and talk to everyone.
Egg the speckled egg is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a couple of other things that are around there. So anything else you'd like to add, Jen?
I don't think so. We just want to thank you, Anna, and thank you, our audience, for coming out and supporting us. This is a fundraiser for our Week of Will, and we, of course, have many other activities. We have an online puppet extravaganza called Ciphers to This Great Accompt, which you can also find on our website. And on April 23rd, we will have the Shakespeare tribute at the Shakespeare statue in Oakland with Mrs. Shakespeare.
Mrs. Shakespeare.
Played by Yvonne
Excellent.
Hudson.
Remind yeah. people where the Shakespeare statue is in Oakland.
It's right in front. It's right by the museum.
It's
right
by the
near
museum.
The, right near the dinosaur.
And usually he has flowers this time of year. He has a spring garland, which is really kind of fun.
We might have cake as well. And this is, again, a fundraiser for us. So we've been doing free Shakespeare in our city parks for 20 years, and we can't do it without your support, because it's free to the public, but of course it needs financed.
It does need
Look
financed.
At that. I said that
the finance,
it needs
eh?
financed.
It
uh-huh.
needs financed.
We depend on your support, so thank you.
Can you tell us what we'll be able to enjoy in September with Shakespeare in the Parks?
Yes. We are doing our musical version of Twelfth Night. Directed by Nick Rutke, and it's a Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville kind of thing. So you can expect baby pools and bikinis and big hats and lots of singing and dancing.
Excellent.
Little glasses with little umbrellas in it. So come on out and see Twelfth Night in our city parks.
Excellent. And come see Shakespeare, This Could Be True, April 23rd through the 26th at the Union Trust Building. Go get your tickets at pittsburghshakespeare.org. Hey, guys, thanks so much.
Thank you,
Anna.
Thank you.